following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome on in to Cougar Nation on a, well, tough Monday, I gotta say. We're here for you, Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, as the Cougars, they fell in a big way to TCU, 44-11. We're going to unpack everything that went wrong and try to figure out what's next for this BYU football team, Matt, as there's a lot to fix for this group.
A lot to fix, a lot to discuss, and we want to hear from you, Cougar Nation, as always. That's where the show exists. It's for you, Cougar Nation. You can chat with us at 801-575-8255. We want to know, what was the most disappointing aspect of that loss? And there's a lot of different ways that we can go with this, and we're going to be dissecting it throughout this entire hour in Cougar Nation. And Mitch, like we do every single week, let's start things off with our thoughts and takeaways.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
We do this every week, Mitch. Our takeaways from the game, and there were many. What was your top takeaway from the loss down in Fort Worth?
BYU got a harsh reality of Big 12 football and how big of a gap they are from, you know, contending in this league. You know, the goal has always been this year to get to a bowl game, and that's still within reach. But BYU got outclassed by an average, mediocre TCU team. I don't think TCU is going to suddenly flip the switch and become a, you know, national title contender with their backup quarterback this year like they were last year with Max Duggan. But TCU just outclassed BYU, and it was just a harsh reality. And it showed, too, Matt, that the way that BYU was winning games in the first month of the season, these unconventional ways of winning despite being outgained by 200 yards, you know, winning games, getting in the 14-0 holes, that will backfire eventually. And it did. And it came to roost against TCU. And it was just a reality check to where BYU has to get a lot better than what they showed in the first month of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. My biggest takeaway, I was worried about it when we did extended pregame, Mitch. All week long, I was tripping. I wanted Chandler Morris in that football game. I was worried about the backup quarterbacks. And I'm going to take a victory lap on this one. I thought TCU would win because BYU historically has not done well against backup quarterbacks, but I did not see Josh Hoover throwing for 439 yards, 37 of 58, 4 TDs. It was unbelievable, this dude. You would have never thought this guy was making his first start. He looked phenomenal, and the narrative continues to grow that backup quarterbacks are really difficult for BYU, and this was one of those games where you just felt like, gosh, would it have been a different game with Chandler Morris? Because this team looked way better with Josh Hoover than they ever did with Chandler Morris.
Josh Hoover joins the likes of Cody Vaz, John Hayes, Brett Ratliff, the backup quarterbacks that have smoked BYU. Kalani Sitake, after the game, he said, you know, he noted that there's got to be a pivot and a change. This was Kalani Sitake in the postgame at M&G Carter Stadium.
Sometimes you have to pivot and figure out other ways to do things. You just can't keep doing the same things and expect the results to change. We definitely have to pivot and do some things, but they're all within the realm of our capabilities.
He's not wrong, Mitch. Things need to change, and look, there's a lot of different ways they can go. Another game where the running game was, look, it was mildly improved, but it's still sub 100 yards. You wonder if there's an offensive shift. And there were changes, too. Like, the offensive line changed, and it didn't yield that great of results. So it's, things need to change. They need to find success some way or another, but it's hard to wonder where you turn to next.
One of the things that they do need to improve on, another one of our takeaways, Matt, is the defensive line created zero pressure. Now, I know Josh Hoover in that up-tempo attack with Kendall Briles as the offensive coordinator, he was getting that thing off quick. So it's hard to get a sack when a quarterback is slinging it as fast as Josh Hoover did, but there was no threat. When you allow a redshirt freshman, I don't care who it is, if they have all the time in the world to operate, they're going to put up numbers. And that defense looked a lot like the defense we saw last year or the last 2 years. That's frustrating for BYU because that lack of pass rush or any sort of havoc plays was discouraging. Hey, Cougar Nation is for you, Cougar Nation, the fans. And we've already got the phone lines blowing up. We got to get out to Grant from Payson. He wants to know about this loss and his thoughts. Grant, what's your takeaway from this loss?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm not going to be like, I don't know who else is going to call or have some hot takes. I'm not calling for anyone's job. Obviously, it was a dose of reality, like you said, about being in the Big 12. But I'm just curious what your guys' take on a complete coaching loss I felt this was. You know, I felt like we've seen a little bit, you know, Jay Hill is coming into this as, you know, first time defensive coordinator in the Power Five. I'm not going to be upset at him for not knowing that Josh Hoover is him and played really well. But the adjusting to, you know, Josh Hoover just airing it out was suspect. I know he got injuries, so I'm not really that upset about Jay Hill, but it is something to consider that his defense that we've been really excited about got completely roasted. A-Rod, I think from that first drive, you could just see the game plan that they had installed. I mean, I felt good about the first 7-yard run we had, and then after that, everything else after was just not working. And then for Kalani, I do love Kalani. I love him so much. Just really hard after a bye week that your team comes out and looks that unprepared for what they're – I mean, it's one thing to be like, yeah, that's the team I saw go to the national championship last year, but it felt like this team was shocked at how much, like, more athletic every single Horn-Frogged player was than them and just didn't ever, like, get back into the game after, like, the first 5 minutes when we were down 14-0, which was obviously counter to what we've seen this team be able to do against Arkansas. And, I mean, even when they came back against Kansas and still made it a game after the setbacks there. So I just wonder what you guys think about – I mean, that was my take, was it was a complete coaching loss, not really going to bang on any players or anything because I know we've got injuries, but just complete coaching loss to not even be competitive in this game when we had so much in our favor the bye week, them coming off two hard games. And, yeah, I just wonder what you guys' takeaway is on that and how we bounce back this week.
Grant, thanks for the call. I think you're right. You're pointing the blame in the right direction. It has to go to the coaches. You know, Kalani Sitake leading this team, there's always head-scratching performances under Kalani. Every year, there's a game or two where you go, what happened? Did they show up? That's got to end. And it happens far too often because it is the type of performance that everyone loves Kalani. Everyone does. There's no one that dislikes Kalani, but it's the type of performance that they stack up on top of each other. It then... They're fireable offenses in when they get stacked up as many times as they do, and it's going to heat up a seat. And Jay Hill, I think that they misread this offense because Jay Hill said the offense isn't going to change much for TCU. And what that meant with Chandler Morris, that was a running attack with Chandler Morris. With Josh Hoover, it was all pass all day. I think they misread their hand, and I think they were expecting a lot more run. And that's a point to blame on Jay Hill. And I thought the offense – where do you begin? I mean, it's all across the board. That was a systematic failure from the offense. What do you think, Matt?
The offense, to me, is the group to blame the most. I thought about this on the drive down. You hear this a lot in football. It's a team game. It's all three phases. Well, when one phase out of the other three are a lot worse, it's going to affect the other two. And the fact that they have not been able to move the football for 6 of the last 8 quarters – because the Cincinnati game was just as nasty as this until that last drive before halftime that sparked the offense. But by and large, this offense has been bad all season long. Their statistical rankings are putrid, and it's leaking into the defense. It's affecting third down defense. It's affecting morale. And look, the coaches deserve a lot of the blame. I totally agree with Grant. But sort of the players. We can't absolve the players. To give up 12 of 19 on third down, that's over 60%, Mitch. Over 60%. There were multiple third and longs. On the first drive alone, they convert their first third down. It gets wiped away by a penalty. It goes further backwards, and they just march down the field. There's only so much a coach can do to put you in the right position. If you can't get off the field on third and long, to me, that's not a coaching thing. That's a defense thing, and it's all phases of the game right now. Special teams is probably the best phase of the team right now, and that's just not going to win enough Big 12 football games. Let's get another call, Mitch. Todd from West Valley. He wants to chime in on the running game. Todd, what do you got for us about the offensive line, the running backs?
It all starts in the trenches. I watched a play on that game where the running back had to push the lineman to make a block. It's like, come on, guys. You have to make a hole. The running back runs into a wall. He's going nowhere. You need to make a hole. Coach doesn't do it. The players do. And you know why Keaton Slovis has been at USC and Pitt and BYU? You saw it Saturday. A deer in the headlights. Lonnie, why did you go for that for four quarters? Put in your next quarterback. See if he can light a fire. Because Keaton's not doing it. He's doing it when everything's perfect. But when there's a little struggle, he looks horrible.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw it to this back. Watch this. Oh, it got tipped. That bad. Oh, okay. Pay attention. I'm going to throw it over here to the right. Oh, that got picked up. First play, first pass. Watch this. Oh, I can score a touchdown on the first play for the other team.
Todd, I love the passion. I think a lot of BYU fans feel the same way as you do. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those fans. I don't think Keaton Slovis is that big of an issue right now. I
disagree, Matt.
You're kidding me, Mitch. They can't run the football. The pass block was bad. The receivers were never open. How are you supposed to throw it to someone if no one is open?
Slovis was bad in TCU game. Bad. And it was to the point where I think, to Todd's point, like BYU did in week one with at running back where
Mitch.
No, like you go to a spark. Just go to a spark. It's like he doesn't have it today. Let's see what Retzlaff's got.
And nobody was open. You can't complete a pass when no one is open.
But then you have another player in the backfield that a defense has to account for that can run the football.
Well, we don't
Retzlaff
know
could run.
Can he?
I think he could run. We've seen him improvise in spring ball and in practices. Look, Retzlaff wouldn't have given BYU the win. But I think you just say, you know what? Slovis don't have it today. Let's see what Retzlaff's got for a potential spark. It would not have changed the outcome, but it's like it's okay to switch up the quarterback if need be. When it's completely bad as it was, Slovis, to me, that performance kind of negated any goodwill that he built up in the first month. Because now he goes into the Texas Tech game where if he's struggling in that first half, they got to consider a change, not permanent, but again, for that game, for that isolated incident, because Slovis has to get better. He has to. Look, he was very good in the Kansas game when it was a one-dimensional attack, and this run game is historically bad. It might be the worst run attack, ground attack BYU's ever fielded in the last 60 years, post-World War II, and that's going back a ways. But at the same time, Slovis compounded the issue where some of the throws he was making, Matt, there was no opportunity. I mean, he was just completely throwing it out of bounds. And there was as many completions, it felt like, to the stands as it was to players. So, Slovis did a nice job in the first month. And I'm willing to give him a little bit of leniency. But, man, that was a bad performance, Matt. And he's got to shoulder a little bit of blame, too. Cougar Nation, always brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. Blue Barn Wealth. .com.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Nation. It's brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. And we'll get back to breaking down this BYU and TCU game momentarily. But right now, there's been some exciting stuff happening in the state, and we're joined by Derek Mattson and Sean Moody and Sly Stilvester to talk about a lot of really cool things that are happening in the state with this Utah FTW 360 app. Let's just start here, Derek.
Okay.
What is this app, and how is it going to benefit sports fans here in the state?
Basically, it's a video streaming app that has been built for the University of Utah fans for all their athletics. Right now, we are featuring all kinds of content related to the football team. We have player profiles. We have highlights from Pac-12. We have KSL content. anything. It's kind of a hub for all University of Athletics, starting with football, and that's why I have Sly here. He's helping us with football. On my right, I have Sean Mooney, who's a former U of U basketball player, and that's because we are going to add other team sports. We'll go to men's and women's basketball next, gymnastics, and we'll go from there. But basically, if you're a Utah fan, it's the app you want to have to cover anything related to athletics.
Utah FTW 360, is it only going to be Utah in the foreseeable future?
Right now, the app was built primarily for Utah. But we have plans to expand it to other universities, and I think you may see it somewhere else.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. Sean, what excites you? Look, you played here in the state.
I did. Yeah, no, Matt, I think telling the athlete's story, in particular telling a story from an inside perspective, learning more about the athletes and about the coaching staff and what makes them tick and how it works.
Appreciate you guys being in studio here with us. And I'm curious, you know, what role does this have in maybe enriching the student athletes with this world of NIL? What role does this play in that space too?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's the whole reason we exist. We created the app for the Crimson Collective, which is designed to help players build their name, image, and likeness. There are collectives being created all over the country with each university. And at BYU, you have the Royal Blue Collective, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And their whole mission is to help the players build their name, image, likeness, and benefit from their participation in sports. And so that's really what the app was created for. All the proceeds from the app go back to the collectives to give to the athletes. And it's really to help the school, in the case of Utah, recruit better athletes and create more awareness for the students.
How big of a difference would this have made, Sean, back in your playing days as a player?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it is hard, Sly, not to think about these things. We're both former athletes. I'm a little older than you. Let's not talk about how old. When we may have one of those stories we talked about earlier, Matt. But yeah, it would have made a big difference. I mean, there were so many things that athletes in my time couldn't afford to do. Going home to a funeral, loved one's funeral. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that.
So I maybe piggyback off of that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's huge. Ever since this got started, I started to think of all the stores and all the times that I could have used, you know, extra finances, right? You know, from me, I had to carpool. I double majored in college in economics and mass communications. And so I was busy all the time. Coach Witt thought I was crazy. But I was just like, no, I want to go to school. I'm going to be done here in 3.5 years. So let me just get it done. And the double major, I don't know why I did that either. But transportation was crazy. I had no money. There was negative money in my bank account for a number of months. And the things that I used to do for the university as far as, you know, media gigs and all this out, and I got absolutely nothing from it. I know other players, because they were married and they had kids and they got other checks. I got $550 to last me the 30 days. That's gas. That's groceries. That's all my bills. And, you know, cost of living was a little cheaper than it is now. But it was difficult, you know, to go to school or go to workouts at 6 a.m., then have class from 8 a.m. to 12, and then be back at the facility to have meetings starting at 1 o'clock. So you have to get your meal in between 12 and 1, eat, and you're not eating in the meeting rooms. And then you're in meetings until 3 o'clock and then practice from 3 to 5:30, 6, and then you got study hall after that. I didn't get home till 10, and then you got to do it all again the next day. And I got no money for all of that. And so, like, these things just help. As Sean said, being able to go home, I didn't even get to go home to Vegas that much because I didn't have money to drive to Vegas. You know, my family didn't have money to send me all the time. So these things help these guys, you know, especially the trucks and transportation. As I said, getting to and from class in the snow, I had a Ford Taurus, you know, the old cop cars back in the day. They weren't making it up the hills going up to the U, you know, when the snow hit. I'm from Vegas. We don't get no snow down there. And so that was just, you know, I was with Mikey Matthews, you know, when we gave the trucks away. And he's like, man, my Subaru wasn't going to make it. It wasn't going to make it out here. So these guys were very excited. And just to know that, you know, this is a job. I mean, I have was lucky enough to go onto the professional ranks and do this, and the opportunities that we got paid to do work, right? You know, you do appearances, you do things like that. That's work. That's time out of your day. Your time is valuable. And that's what these guys are all about. They devote a lot of time to this university, to this community, and this is the community giving back.
It's the Utah FTW 360 app. You can get it on the App Store, Google Play Store. Derek, Sean, Sly, we appreciate you hopping in studio. Again, it's Utah FTW 360. Get it wherever you get your apps. Appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll take the break here. News, traffic, and weather coming your way, and we'll get back to BYU and TCU breakdown after this.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation rolls on. If you ever miss any part of the program, you can subscribe to our podcast, Cougar Nation, on all major podcasting platforms, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and the KSL Sports app. So go check that out.
And keep the calls coming. We got plenty of time left in the show to get your thoughts on the TCU-BYU game. 801-575-8255 talk. But right now, let's keep breaking that down with things that are improving, Mitch, and things that aren't.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this football season?
I'll start things off, Mitch. And look, Mitch, maybe before we get to this quickly, Kansas City, is it treating you well? You're there for Big 12 media days, right?
It is treating me well. I'm just down the street from the T-Mobile Center getting ready for Big 12 basketball media days the next 2 days. Women tomorrow. Brett Yormark's going to talk tomorrow, and then the men on Wednesday. I'm very curious to hear what Yormark has to say, if, you know, expansion. Maybe Gonzaga is on the mind tomorrow for Brett Yormark. So no shortage of storylines. And, hey, BYU men, there's a little bit of buzz about them. Ken Pom's got them as the eighth best team in the Big 12. So maybe there could be a little bit of a surprise for BYU. But low expectations still, generally speaking. And they'll go out and try to prove their worth in year one of the Big 12. So it should be a lot of fun here in KC.
I'll start things off. Something that's trending up for me, there was a lot of bad in that TCU game. You get blown out on the road after a bye. Not good. I did think there were a couple of silver linings, and one of those for me, I liked the special teams as a whole. I thought that the special teams, besides the one punt that got deflected, that wasn't ideal, but you make a 46-yard field goal, and it looked good. It looked like it could have went from 50. There were multiple good kick returns. Besides that punt, Rico, look, if you take that out, and I think there was a shank in there as well, but he could have been above 50 yards in net. Look, I just thought the special teams have been really solid this year, and it was I like making a 46-yard field goal, Mitch. I feel like from 50 and in, you run fair and out there and see what happens. So special teams to me has been good. I thought that they played well against TCU.
I struggled to find any sort of trending up from this game. So here's what I'm going to go with, Matt. The missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Mission in DFW. Those missionaries, brothers and sisters, stayed till the bitter end for that game. So I'm saying they're trending up.
You are really down on this team after that loss.
Look, I think that BYU will be okay. I think they'll get to a bowl game. And look, there's some things I could point to. They're kind of obscure. Like Ciali Acero was a moment. Him getting an interception. I think he's going to be a good linebacker for BYU. I think that, you know, I think the safeties, even though they had to go dig in deep, I think they've played well. But I just think that I struggle to point to any sort of highlight moments or really things that I feel like are trending up, because I felt like they just were asleep at the wheel of the team. And I felt like they were there was a lackluster performance from all phases, coaching, players, everywhere you look. And there were just so many issues with that game where you go, I don't know what was positive from it. It's just one of those games where you say, throw away this film and never let it see the light of day again.
Look, it was a horrible performance, and I'm not usually an optimist, Mitch. I'm actually more of a pessimist, believe it or not. But I want to see what happens against Texas Tech before I really start to freak out, because teams are allowed bad games. It's not ideal, but this team is not talented enough to play poorly and to be in a football game. We learned that against TCU. It can happen. The key is, can you bounce back? Because there's a lot of similar storylines against Texas Tech, which we'll get into later in the show and on Saturday when we have extended pregame coverage beginning at high noon. So there'll be plenty of time to talk about the Red Raiders. But it could just very well be a lot of things went poorly. A lot of people played bad at the same time, and it got out of control. Maybe it rights the ship. One thing, though, that has to get under control, and this is trending down for me. I hate to criticize the defense because they've done a lot of things well this year. Yeah. I feel like they've improved in a lot of areas. Unfortunately, injuries are really killing them. But one aspect that has got to get better, because it is clearly trending down, is third down defense. Against Cincinnati, they give up 9 of 18, 50%. And then TCU rolls out a first-time starting quarterback, and it's 12 of 19, 63% on third down. And there was a number of third and longs that, if you get off the field, I had no faith in the offense to where I don't think the game would have changed, but it might have been closer. Maybe not, because the offense was so putrid against TCU, but my goodness, the third down defense, you'll not beat anybody the rest of the way if you're converting 50% or more on third down. It's just, that's just the facts. It doesn't matter what the offense does. You're giving up 63%. You are losing that football game. That's trending down for me.
For me, what's trending down is Keaton Slovis. And look, I think he can bounce back. And I think you make a good point about the Texas Tech game, because we've seen in this conference every week, no one can maintain success week after week unless you're named Texas or Oklahoma. So anything can happen every single week in this league. But Slovis's back is against the wall, and he even, you know, noted that the issues for the offense, they start with him.
If I want to give our guys a chance to be in this game, I got to play better. So it starts with me. I think everyone probably in the building feels the same way.
Yeah, he's got to be better. There's no doubt about it, Mitch. It's the thing that's frustrating, too, about Slovis is I feel like most of his performance this year has been solid. And then there's four or five just boneheaded, questionable decisions that have resulted in back-breaking turnovers. That first interception, you just cannot make that throw. There was no window to throw the ball. Keanu Hill was not open on the play. Just take the sack and punt the ball. There's times in games where it's okay to be aggressive and try and make a play. The first drive of the game is not one of those situations.
That I agree with. And I think that, you know, he's definitely got the right mindset, and I think he's going to be better for this because he's faced a lot of adversity in his college football career. And look, credit to Slovis for the amount of hits he's taken and bounced back up. He's taken so many hits the last few weeks, and he just keeps getting up. He had that fumble where it looked like his shoulder got a little bit tweaked. He says he's okay, and he played the rest of the game, but something to monitor there. I mean, he's been someone that has taken a lot of shots and still found a way to get back up. So he's a tough dude. I just think that now he's just got to step up in a big way, because if BYU wants to get to a bowl game, he's got to come up big for BYU. I also was a little bit disappointed in Ryan Rico. Just an uncharacteristic performance for him. I mean, he's so good, and it's hard to get nitpicky with him, but that was just so alarming when he's not on. It was like, man, this whole day is just struggling for BYU.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, he still had a good total net average, though. He was like mid-40s. It's better than what the team wants. So it's, hey, if your punter is struggling and you don't have any blocked punts for a touchdown, I guess that's a silver lining, Mitch. I don't know, but that's what we're trying to talk ourselves into here. Let's take a break, Mitch. On the other side, we'll wrap up the show. We'll continue to take your calls, 801-575-8255, and maybe we'll get some quick thoughts on that upcoming Texas Tech game. Back with more Cougar Nation right after this.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it up, and in overtime, they won it.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, you're angry. We're angry. I know Mitch and I, we do not go back and forth at each other quite like we did in that first segment, which was, that was a lot of fun, disagreeing about Slovis. Your last chance to chime in on the loss is right now, 801-575-8255. What was the most disappointing aspect of the game? We'd love to hear from you. And let's also do this too, and Cougar fans are welcome to chime in. What changes do you want to see against Texas Tech? Because there's got to be changes made. Let's start with you, Mitch, while we wait for Cougar Nation to call in.
I think one of the big changes that I want to see from BYU is that I want to see just an all-out, just sell out to the pass game. BYU, it is what it is. They are going to be true to their roots and just be air raid, even though that wasn't really what BYU of old was. They were more 60-40. I'm saying 80-20, man. Let's just let it rip. Let that thing air it out, because
honor Mike Leach the right way.
You know, what perfect week to do it than against Texas Tech,
totally,
a team that's synonymous with just letting it air out. But it might sound extreme, and it might sound like I'm talking in jest, but I'm kind of being serious too, because I just feel like this ground attack, even though I like the talent at running back with Miles Davis, with L.J. Martin, with Aiden Robbins, who could potentially come back this week, I feel like those are things that – those are players that should form quite the running back trio for BYU. But there's – what's happening at the offensive line is a real issue. And I feel like BYU is better in pass protection than they are run blocking. So turn to that well often, early and often in the game. And I just feel like you sell out to passing the rock and let Keaton Slovis try to win games with his arms. What about you?
I'm with you 100%. I want to see the passing game. But you kind of like the next level of that for me, Mitch, I don't think Aaron Roderick's been very good this year. And I have not liked the play calling in the past couple weeks. I feel like there was a number of plays against TCU that were long-developing plays for an offensive line that can't hold up. I mean, how many times did they roll Slovis out in this game and the block wasn't there? And then that play that's supposed to take 5 seconds because you're rolling out and you're expecting your edge to hold that block, it was not there. So I want to see simpler play calling that gets a quarterback, and if it's Slovis, great. It's going to be Slovis.
Sure.
Get him into a rhythm. Can we get some screen passes? Can we get some out routes? Can we just get some easy plays? Like that opening drive, there were not easy throws to be made, and the receivers weren't open. And then on third and long, you're going to run a quick slant where anything can happen on a quick slant. If it's not there, you'll want your quarterback to throw it away, but he's trying to make a play. Let's make things easier for the quarterback by having easier play calls to where it can be executed quick. Passes, get the ball out fast, a screenplay, an outrun, something. Because it just feels like the last couple weeks, there's been a lot of complex, long-developing plays. And when you don't have a line that's playing well, and guess what? BYU does not have a line that's playing well. It's very hard to execute those plays.
Cougar Nation, always brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. BYU Texas Tech coming up this weekend. 5 p.m. Hey, Matt, does that constitute vampire status?
No, I don't think it does. I think it needed to be after 6 p.m. So I don't think it does. Look, I don't care about the kick time. And by the way, the BYU Texas kick time came out. It's 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time. That's a loss. The second that came out, I said, "L, do I want to rethink my trip down to Austin?"
Look, how vintage BYU would it be? You go to Fort Worth, you get smoked, and then 2 weeks later, you pull off the upset of the year in college football and take down Texas.
That would be, I mean, it's in the realm of possibility.
Why not? This is the Big 12.
I was thinking about this earlier, Mitch. Help me decide if this counts or not. Kalani is good for one surprise win a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. Did the Arkansas game eat that up, or is that still on the table for the rest of the season?
I felt like you and I didn't view the Arkansas game as a surprise.
No.
I think we both thought that BYU could win that game going into the year.
So it's on the table.
I think the general public, though, would say that was a big surprise. But I still feel like BYU's got one big upset in them. If they're going to, you know, I don't think it's going to be Texas, but they got one upset in them. Maybe it's Oklahoma. Maybe it's, you know, a game against, say, West Virginia on the road, who's playing some pretty good football this year.
Maybe.
They've got it in them.
I think they do have it in them, but what happens this Saturday against Texas Tech will tell me everything I need to know about the season, because this is a must-win game. You look at the rest of the schedule, you know who is actually having a good year and it's blowing my mind? Iowa State. Like, I penciled that one in as a win, and now Iowa State looks good. So maybe that's not a win. Like, it's hard to find two wins on the schedule if you lose to Texas Tech, a team that could be down to their third-string quarterback. So if they get this win, then I could believe that there's an upset down the road. If they don't, and they look like they did against TCU, man, it could be a tough rest of the year.
Cougar Nation is brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. If you missed any part of the show, subscribe to the podcast on all major podcasting platforms. We're available wherever and on the KSL Sports app every Monday night, 6 to 7, taking your phone calls. We'll be back next week. And also, extended pregame this Saturday, starting at noon, getting you ready for BYU and Texas Tech down in Provo homecoming. So talk to you then. Have a good night, Cougar Nation.